Elliot.
There's not much going on right now, and we're like 5 minutes out of the major.
Yeah, it's kind of the calm before the storm, right? There's like some roster stuff happening, but everyone's kind of waiting until after this. And then you've got like Pro League coming up. So it's a bit of a calm.
Yeah, IAM Chengdu is going on right now. I'll say this at the beginning. Normally, we are pretty good about covering everything that we can in terms of like events that go on. This event is really hard for both of us to cover.
Yeah.
Because both of us are on basically North America time. Me, actually, and you, theoretically.
Yes. I woke up at 10 past 3 p.m. today.
Yeah. That's like 2 hours ago. So that's like 10 a.m. here.
Yeah. I was struggling.
But because of that, right, neither of us have watched any of the games because the latest game looks to start at, it'll start at like 6:30 in the morning. Which is when I get up to like go to work. So
yeah, the latest game does not suit me. I've almost stayed up to watch the first game at some points though. So there is that.
The 3 a.m. games for me.
Yeah, I was kind of like close to one of them. I think one of them said like 4:30 my time. I nearly watched it.
Either way, events in China are really terrible for me to watch. And they're not great for you to watch.
Yeah. It's part of the reason I actually want to go to the major in China, so I'll actually be awake to watch it.
Yeah, I'll probably just pull a couple late nights when we hit towards Shanghai Major to watch it. But like, this is the problem because this happens in League of Legends too.
All the events are in like Korea
and China and stuff. Yeah, so like this year MSI in Chengdu.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I like? I generally watch all international events. What the fuck am I supposed to do?
Because in League of Legends, there's so many shit games early on. Like, literally, like Vietnamese teams versus Brazilian teams. Like,
Okay, we need to take a sidebar. Have you seen the Vietnam thing that's going on?
I think so.
So, half of the fucking players in the league got banned from the league because they were all match fixing.
Amazing.
And so they brought back a bunch of like old VCS players to play instead. So like SOFM, huge famous jungler.
Yeah, yeah.
He owns a team now. He's playing support for that team into the VCS playoffs because this is what they have to do per rules to fucking to go into playoffs. It's insane. You always think that like we have it terrible in Counter-Strike with like match fixing and betting and shit, and then you find out an entire franchised league has been match fixing.
Yeah. I East Asia's like, not to be sort of stereotypical, but it's quite common in East Asia. Were you drinking a beer?
No, I'm drinking what I drink every week, which is Liquid Death, which is sparkling water.
It's deliberately stylized to look like a beer, though, right?
Yeah, I actually have two cans.
I think I'd rather be drinking beer in the middle of the day than sparkling water. I fucking hate sparkling water.
I love sparkling water.
This is what we've been reduced to, by the way.
Yeah, this is what happens when nothing fucking happens.
I hate sparkling water. I really do.
I love sparkling water.
No, it's disgusting.
I know that... isn't it in mainland Europe... I guess that's actually all Europe at this point because the UK isn't part of
Europe. We're part of Europe. We're just not part of the EU.
Yeah, but not. Okay. But in mainland Europe, don't they just automatically give you sparkling water?
Isn't that in a lot really of countries, Germany, definitely. A lot of places they'll ask, especially if you speak to them in English. If you speak to them in English, they'll often go and you say, can I get water? They're like, sparkling or still? But they'll always say sparkling or still, not still or sparkling. That's a.
No, because sparkling
is kind of the
choice.
De facto there, yeah. Right. In England, it's absolutely not. Like, it's definitely still.
No, I know in England it's not. When I was there years ago, it definitely was not. In America, there's no choice. You get still water.
Yeah. Rightfully so. Fucking sparkling water is disgusting, bro. It's so horrible.
You have to ask for, like, club soda or seltzer.
Yeah, you have all sorts of weird names for it, like, right?
Yeah. There's plenty of weird names for it. Speaking of weird names, let's talk about Counter-Strike stuff.
Yeah.
Start with the first thing. NIP have confirmed their newest signing for this roster. I say newest because I'm not convinced that they're done making moves.
No, they still need a fifth, right?
Yeah, they officially need a fifth, but it's not great. So currently this roster before this was Rez and Alex. We all have thoughts on Rez. Alex we're pretty high on, but
I'm quickly getting lower on.
Yeah, to be fair, he did join the one team in the world that if you join, you become worse.
Yeah, pretty much.
So Rez and Alex, they added Maxter from their academy roster. He was fine on the academy roster, to be honest. I don't think he was...
He's a good player. Yeah. It's just kind of a bit late for this move. They should have done it 6 months ago.
Yep. And then, in their genius thought process, they went, what's the next Ukrainian sniper we can get after Hedrick?
With a one in his
name. With a one in his name. And got Wrinkle.
Who I do think is very good.
I agree.
I do think Wrinkle is very good.
But we also said that about Hedrick. And then he joined NIP.
I think Wrinkle is better than Hedrick.
Yeah, but they both...
And he's also a genuine AWPer. Hedrick was only an AWPer out of necessity.
Yeah, but I don't know. I still... The NIP curse still thinks of being there.
Oh, yeah. Like, but,
no matter
who curses can't last forever. I mean, obviously, because an actual curse probably does last forever. But, like... They can't always be bad. If you keep signing good players, eventually you will be good. Like, this is kind of what I hate about the whole NIP thing. It's like, oh, NIP should just sign a Swedish team because they're going to be bad anyway. Like, they might as well sign a Swedish team so at least they've got a brand identity. It's like, well, A, you only have a brand identity if you're a good Swedish team. Being an actual Swedish team doesn't matter. But B, the reason NIP are bad isn't because... they're not signing Swedish players. It's because they're signing bad players. If they just sign good players, that's fine. Just sign good players. I know it's really easy. I know it sounds really easy to be like, oh, just sign good players. But that is 99% of recruitment in esports. The other 1% is like, don't sign somebody who's going to blow up the whole team by being an asshole. And even then, sometimes it's kind of worth it.
And NIP have famously had that issue, both issues at the same time.
Yeah.
What a team. I
like just sign good players. It's not hard.
I don't have more.
But they've started to do it at least.
So they've signed Wrinkle, they still have a fifth slot open. They're obviously going international again for this roster. The second they said Alex was staying on, that was gonna happen. I can't even think of who they fill with their fifth here.
Yeah, like so do you know who it should be? And I think would make a lot of sense on this team and would be a genuine upgrade and probably make this team like top 20. It should be Xiphon.
Okay. What is he doing?
He's available. He plays a lot of the spots they don't currently have a player for. He's very good.
Well, he's signed to TSM, so.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's exactly where they should sign him because no decent player should be consigned to TSM.
Do you know what the TSM roster is right now?
As a rule, no.
Xiphon, Quartz, who is a Czech player, Joel, the guy who was accused of match fixing like a year ago.
Yeah.
Valda.
Jesus.
And Poison.
Wow. Yeah, like just save Xiphon from that, I think. That'd be a really good move for everyone involved, I think.
Like, this team used to have Jax and Inters on it, and I kind of thought it was interesting for 5 minutes, and then...
It was interesting, but it was also just obviously bad, because they just had, like, 15 support players.
Well, you know what this team needs? It needs a...
I can't get my camera in the right place. There we go.
This team needs, like, an actual star rifler, because obviously Rez isn't going to be it, and Alex isn't it, and Maxter's not...
Alex was, like, sort of a star rifler on Movistar. He had pop-off moments.
But he needs... they need
and he kind of put himself in decent roles.
They need an actual star rifler, though.
Yeah, like, of course. I mean, I think the problem is everyone needs an actual star rifler.
Hey, I don't think that Vitality needs a star rifler. I think they've got enough.
Yes, but they would also... Like, if you got rid of... I guess Sphinx is pretty hard to upgrade on. Yeah,
your upgrade person is you upgrade Apex, or
it's it's actually you upgrade Flames.
Yeah, it's you upgrade Flames.
That's actually how they get better.
But
it's Mezzi kind of does all their entry fragging and all their like jumping through smokes.
He does, as I quote, the bitch rolls.
Yeah, I try not to use that word. role. trying to use the word role.
I'm an entry fragger. That's
I also play bitch roles. Don't worry. I'm taking the piss. I also play bitch roles.
Okay, so other weird roster shit that's happened. We'll spend 6 seconds on this, but FlyQuest picked up the former Greyhound lineup. They went and played in Chengdu. They were not the worst team there, which is a big win as opposed to normal Greyhounds.
And their shirts are so sexy.
They've had these shirts in LCS for the entire season, okay? They've got like iridescent FlyQuest on them, and it's like raised and stuff. I want to buy one so badly, but I...
If I didn't hate Australians, I'd buy one.
I was going to say, the problem is like that organization goes against everything I like. Not the tree planting stuff, because they like plant trees and stuff. That's great.
I hate fucking trees, dude. I hate them so much.
No, but like, I'm a Team Liquid fan, especially in League of Legends, and TL just beat them in the finals, and like, I don't like this Australian FlyQuest team. I would have liked a different team. It's like, you go and every decision is like, ah, you're so close. You were so close.
But all of their shirts, like the ones they did at Worlds a few years ago with like the flowers and the dragons and shit, fucking wicked. I could do a whole episode on good and bad esports shirts. We were going to do something similar for the magazine actually at one point, but it didn't make the cut.
Maybe we have to do that for next week, because I'm not convinced that anything's going to actually happen between now and next week.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the massive, massive downgrade BNE made when they signed for Guild, because those shirts suck compared to BNE.
Let's talk about jerseys for a second, because Heroic unveiled new jerseys for Chengdu.
Yeah, they unveiled the Southampton shirt. It just looks like a Southampton shirt. It's not it's not bad. It just looks like a Southampton shirt.
Oh, wow. It kind of does.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, but they're different. And I like different.
But yeah, no, I don't have a problem with that. Like, I think that's
fucking
fine.
Team showed up to the major with a white jersey with a little bit of accent color and a big spot. Oh my god, there's so many.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring me interesting jerseys.
So the best, I'd say, like some of the best jerseys around right now. Furia always have nice shirts. Like the one that was like white that sort of gradiented into black.
Yep.
Looked like
the
football
like,
shirt.
Ink drop one that they
yeah, have. Yeah. You could wear that in public and pretend it's a football shirt and nobody would question you. Yep. Just say, oh yeah, they're a Brazilian second division team. Nobody would care.
Yep.
Team Spirit, very cool.
Yep.
I had Eternal Fire. Eternal Fire shirts are cool as well.
Eternal Fire jerseys are cool.
The black and gold one. It's very cool. I can't think of any more right now off the top of my head. I kind of like the Betboom ones because they don't look like shirts at all. They just look like... They're made of cotton. They look very comfortable.
I want some team to just make a rugby jersey, like a rugby shirt jersey. Mm. I think that would go really hard.
I definitely think you could as well. Like, there's definitely room for it. Vitality makes some really cool stuff. I don't necessarily care for their shirts, but some of their stuff's cool.
TL makes other merch that's very cool, but their jerseys just like been the same for a while now. Let it be known that
Team Liquid's Naruto stuff is cool.
Their alternative,
but I don't like Naruto,
have been like very good. Like when we had the Captain America jerseys and the X-Men jerseys and stuff during the Liquid run, that was great. But the regular jerseys,
their Naruto stuff is cool, but I'm not a weeb, so I can't wear it.
Yeah, I love a lot of their Naruto stuff, but I just don't watch Naruto, so I feel
the stuff's actually quite cool, but I do not want people to think I'm a weeb. I'm already scared. Like, I have some like Pokemon stuff that's got like Japanese writing. I'm like, can I get away with this? Probably just about.
All right, let's talk about some other roster moves. One Win in Europe has finally kind of rebuilt themselves.
Yeah. This team kind of looks bad.
It kind of does, but I'm interested. So it's Nilan from Gamer Legion, from Evil Geniuses via Gamer Legion for 6 seconds. Buster.
Yep.
From
Virtus Pro to Cloud9.
Virtus Pro to Cloud9 to here.
Yeah.
Gyro, I think is how you say his name.
Gyo.
Gyo.
He's sort of like a journeyman. He's been on a bunch of teams.
Yeah, he's been on like everything. Ryujin, who actually...
No idea.
Yeah, no clue.
So like, if normal CIS team rules apply, Ryujin is the best player in the world.
He is an Uzbeki player, so...
Yeah, he's probably the best player in the world. I've never heard of him, and he's on a team with players I have heard of. He's probably the best player in the world. That's how CIS teams work.
And the last player is Laddie, who was on the Aurora squad.
Yeah. Which
famously is known for...
I think he's quite good.
I think he was good too on the Aurora.
But I can't remember. I can't, like, I find it difficult to tell those players apart.
I was just saying, here's how you tell them apart. He was the one with the orange hair.
Yeah, see, that doesn't help me.
If you go...
I just don't, I've watched them play several times and I cannot tell their players apart.
So if you go onto their HLTV page, or you used to be able to go onto their HLTV page, and they had all five of the players, every one of them had a different hair color.
Yeah. They dyed it for charity, I think it was. It was like they said, oh, if we qualify for the major, we're all going to dye our hair for charity or something like that. And then obviously somebody got annoyed about it on Twitter and they're like, it's literally for charity. Fucking weirdo.
Yeah, this team's going to suck.
It might not, because they do have Ryujin, who we've just determined is the best player in the world. So, or at least he will be for like 6 months. He's going to do like the Lollipop 21K thing, where he's just the best player in the world for like 3 months.
Yeah, we rumor him.
Fade into obscurity.
Rumor him to every single team.
Yeah, I'm still convinced Lollipop 21K is good. Bring him back. I don't know where he is.
I have literally no clue, and I refuse.
He's like the hardest deathmatch grinder in the world, by the way. Like, there's a deathmatch, I can't remember which one it is. It's the deathmatch where all the pros play, like every month for like 18 months, maybe. It's like every month for 18 months, he was the highest killer on there. So that's why he was good for a bit, is because he just exclusively played deathmatch. You couldn't kill him.
All right. I got one more roster thing, then we'll talk about our predictions for a playoff bracket that we watch zero of the group stage games for. Last thing, Furia at IM Chengdu.
I managed to mute my microphone in time to sneeze, well. And that was close.
Nice done. They won against Lin Vision, as kind of is expected, or at least you hope to be expected.
Yeah, well.
They lost to Maus, lost to Herug.
Yeah, fine.
Owner of the team, Akari, came out and said, and I quote, "The moment requires changes and they will be done."
Wow, that's kind of ominous.
Yeah.
The moment requires changes and it sort of like implies that it's naturally nothing to do with them. Like, well, so, all of the changes are going to be made a divine intervention.
So the whole quote, I think, is actually very important. And I have to translate this. So, okay. "We never shy away from any changes. When they don't happen, it's for two reasons. We don't want to, or it's not possible." Just directly.
Isn't that obvious? That's what other possible reason could there be for not changing?
No, but I love it. "We never ran from change. When it doesn't happen, it's because we didn't want to change."
Yeah, so that's kind of running. Yeah, you're right. But those are the only two reasons you wouldn't make a roster change. You don't want to, or you can't. What other reason can there possibly be? Genuinely, I cannot think of another possible reason not to make a roster change.
Don't want to is doing a lot of work there.
Well, also, yeah, that covers a lot of things. Like, why don't you want to? Like,
so
insane. Insane posting.
I wonder if 2024 is the year that we finally get no art on Furia. Or if they're going to make another move.
It depends if they want to or not.
Apparently. So the question is, like, do they make another move with, like, Fallen, maybe, and bring in a different sniper?
I cannot see a world where they bin off Fallen. I just can't.
They spent too much money on him, in my head, that, like, for them to do it. Do they get rid of, like, Kay Serato or Yuri? Because they say,
you definitely don't get rid of Kay Serato.
I agree, but because you say they don't work in Arch system or something like that, and
if you get rid of one of the riflers, you get rid of Yuri. If you get rid of
it, anyone it else, art. Let's be very clear. I think both of us.
I just don't see the I think it could be Fallen, and that would be fine. I just don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. But I think that keeping Fallen is the better choice. Realistically,
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but I also don't think it's a choice they're ever going to make.
I think the best choice is actually get rid of everyone but Cello and Kay Serato, and maybe
kind of fire
and rebuild. Get rid of both.
I'm not convinced. I think Yuri's a bit of a busted flush. Like, he used to be really good. Yeah. He hasn't been good for a long time.
But I think Cello you should keep, and you should absolutely keep Kay Serato.
Cello's super talented, yeah.
But like, after that, no one should be safe.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
There's like so much talent in Brazil as well.
Yeah, there is. Like, we just saw Payne make it like further than Fury did.
Like, Nissim's available.
you know what? They could probably sell art for the same amount they could buy Nism for.
Mm. Sort of, but then somebody's got to have to want to buy art.
You know that there's probably a million teams in Brazil that want to buy art.
Yeah, true.
All right, let's talk about IAM Chengdu. As we told you earlier, neither of us have watched any of the groups. So we're going to talk about the playoff stage bracket as if we have any clue in the world, with zero clue in the world, basically only operating.
I know everything.
I'm going to operate as if I've only looked at Twitter, which is true, because I've looked at Twitter.
I mean, I've watched some highlights, but that obviously never tells you the full story.
No. So
I saw Yimfat win a 1v4 with 6 HP against Yuri.
I did see that too. I saw a couple of Twitter highlights.
Genuinely baffling.
First thing, quarterfinals, Virtus Pro against G2. Everything I've heard says that Monacy is the greatest player in the world and his team is holding him back.
I believe Hunter basically came out and said Monacy is the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, I think he said,
but like, he's slightly biased.
I think he said something along the lines of, like, he is in the best form of any player in the world or some shit. It wasn't like he's the GOAT, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen at the major that G2 are basically holding Modesty back. Nico's not playing that well at the moment. Hunter's been pretty awful for a while by his own standards. He's not like, you know, he's not worse than
Advent. He's probably the second best rifler on most teams, but
12 months ago, yes.
Yeah, but not right now.
Not right now. He's the fourth best rifler on most teams.
Yeah.
He's really not very good. Nexa, like, he's fine. Nexa's kind of, like, not the problem on this team, but because the problem started once they brought him in,
yeah,
kind of looks like it's his fault. I kind of feel a bit bad for Nexa, because it's not his fault Nico's shit now.
No. The problem is, we all, at the beginning of, like, when they brought Nexa in, we were like, oh, there's Hooksy's going to be on the out now. And they just seem to want to keep both. And that's fine. And it seems like Nexa's doing fine, right? It doesn't seem like Nexa versus JKS was, like, a huge downgrade or anything. But
Nexa Hooksy would be fine if Nico and Hunter were playing like
exactly.
Nico and Hunter.
Exactly.
It would be perfectly fine.
Exactly. They're playing up against Virtus Pro, who are doing Virtus Pro things again.
I'm glad to see Virtus Pro are just still good. They kind of got cheesed by G2 at the major. So there's that sort of storyline.
So, as I was saying, Mouse, really good. Honest to God, they probably win against either of these teams, so it will be considerably closer against Virtus Pro.
Mouse are a very, very good group stage team. They're sort of the new Heroic, where they're really, really good in group stages and kind of crumble on stage. The difference is they're about, like, a combined age of about 25, so they're going to just grow out of it. Whereas Heroic were a little bit later in their careers, didn't have time on their side.
A combined age of 25.
Dude, they're so young. They're all, like, 15.
Their average age is 20.
Yeah, they're so young.
And I'm pretty sure
Falcons are the only Falcons are, like, the only team in the world with an average age above my actual age.
There's 3 21-year-olds, a 17-year-old, and a 19-year-old. That's how they get to that match.
They're so young. They've got so much time to get good on stage.
All right. So the other quarterfinal match, in my opinion, is the better match. And by better, I mean more fun to look at. It's FaZe out of their Copenhagen finals run against Liquid out of their Copenhagen's airport speed run, i.e. back to Europe from America, where they had to play in the RMRs and didn't get through.
Yes.
That
made sense.
Yes. So Liquid's back, maybe. They look like
they look
know
better.
How to play they know how to play Counter-Strike.
Yeah, the bits I've seen, they look at least vaguely coherent, which is nice.
Yeah, so I think I'm in the Dust 2 Discord. Messioso had basically said, who's the complexity manager, had basically said something along the lines of, like, hey, this may actually be a better thing over time for Liquid that they didn't go play in the major, that they just got a ton of time to just figure their shit out. And they weren't in, like, ultra high pressure situations and stuff. And, like, in the long term, this may be better. And we know for a fact that Liquid is not one of the teams that will continuously just recycle players in and out. Like they won't. They just because they didn't qualify for the major doesn't mean fuck this team. They're gone. We're switching it completely, like certain other teams will. So there's some faith in me that this team may actually be okay, that they've made the quarterfinals. I mean, the way that they got here is they lost to Maus. That was it.
Maus is the best group stage team in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, you lost to Maus. What are you going to do about that?
Yeah, no, they got a big win against, was it FaZe? They beat somebody good.
They beat Heroic. They beat G2.
G2 and Heroic. Yeah, I mean, those are pretty solid wins. I mean, Heroic, not the same as they were before, but they're still pretty good.
Heroic was in a best of one. We can not think too hard about that. But the G2 one, like G2 was still a, what are they, semi-finalist in the major?
They should have been finalists. They should have beaten Na'Vi.
But like, it's totally reasonable to say, hey, look, that could beat G2. This is a reasonable thing for us to look at, right? So I think it'll be interesting as it goes on to see if this team actually have figured their shit out. The winner of this plays the most unlikely winner of Group B, Astralis, under Device IGL, who have kind of sort of maybe figured out how they want to play this game.
But it's okay, though, because BlameF definitely wasn't the problem. It's just a case of if you remove him, you immediately get better.
Yeah, they
But he wasn't the problem.
No,
he wasn't the problem, though. Definitely not. Just removing him does make you a better team, but like it's nothing to do with him being.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem.
Nothing to do with him. No, absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But they I've watched some Astralis clips because in my mind I went, what the fuck happened? How did Astralis become good after the clusterfuck at the RMRs that like never got them through? Something about Device IGLing, it doesn't seem like they've lost anything.
Device has played under every single good Danish IGL except like MSL. That's not true. But like every IGL he's played under has been good. He's going to have learned something.
I was gonna say you have to think at one point that he may have an idea of what's going on.
He played with Glaive and Carrigan. He knows what he's doing.
And
not an idiot.
And he was coached by Zonic for a while. And regardless of like what you think about any like how much a coach does or not, there's some amount that like Rugga is the current coach for Astralis. He's obviously a good coach. We've known that for a bit. He was also coached by Zonic. Like, if you wanted a supporting structure for a player, the only player that gets this that has gotten this amount of supporting structure is Zywoo.
Yeah. If you were building an IGL from scratch, you'd be like, right, I'd want him to learn from Zonic, Glaive, Carrigan, and I'd want him to be like, you know, he wants somebody who's won on stage consistently.
Yep.
And whose game isn't necessarily reliant on like super high mechanics,
but can play mechanically well.
He's mechanically good. My point is he learned to play in a way where he didn't need to be the best mechanical player.
That's what I'm saying. He can hold his own.
It's like how when you have a footballer who used to be really fast, when they get old, they just become a bit useless. But when you have a player who never really relied on speed and they get old, it's like, oh, he's still good because he never needed to be quick.
It's the LeBron James of it all.
Yeah, except LeBron James at his peak was a physical monster. He just happens to still be a physical monster at 39.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is still ridiculously strong at 39 years old.
Yeah. It's a little insane. That neither here nor there. The winner of the Liquid Phase match goes to play against Astralis. Honestly, here's the thing. I can't really tell you how that side will go. I think FaZe should beat Liquid.
They should.
They should.
They have a bit of a post-major hangover.
Yeah. I think Liquid should beat Astralis, but there's kind of some weird no team likes each other here.
Yeah.
Every team's just kind of existent with each other. There's storylines all over the place here.
Yeah.
In my head, this is a Maus phase final.
I think it's good for the scene if Maus keep getting stage time.
Yeah.
And this is like lower pressure than the major, than Cologne. For them, going into Cologne, having won an event in Chengdu would be really big. Because then, like, oh, we can win on stage. You go to Cologne with the crowd on your side, suddenly it's like, feels like a bit less pressure. I mean, that has to be good for them.
Well, we'll see if it's good or not. That's going to be it for us this week. There was really not much going on, and with the fact that neither of us were awake during IEM Chengdu, it's a little rough to cover this week. We'll be back again next week. Hopefully more stuff has happened. And
and if not, we'll talk about the best shirts in esports.
Yeah, and if not, we'll do a tier list of the best esports jerseys of all time.
Yeah.
And current. Maybe we'll make it a two-parter. We'll see. Thank you all for watching. You can find us on Twitter @LoganRampUp, @AZSkin, @RetailDR. We'll see you all next week. Peace.